took place tonight was in James chapter 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect work that lacking nothing.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's good to see each and every one of you. Always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God in spirit and truth and open up His Word and certainly glean some lessons from it. So thankful for our prayer, so thankful for our scripture reading, and so thankful for our song leading. Always appreciative of those who are willing to serve in those ways and those capacities. For each month, I've been trying to select a book, and in June, we did Hebrews, and then we went back to the Old Testament for July, and for the month of August, looking at the book of James, if you'll turn over there. So many lessons from the book of James, trying to give you some background to the book, and then trying to get to our lesson, our attitude as Christians going through trials, but also thinking about growing through adversity. And I think we're going to see that in the first chapter in James. You know, the letters are so powerful. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We kind of have those Gospels. And then we get into Acts, the history of the church. But the letters is for lack of a better phrasing, is really where the rubber meets the road. Is because we have the Gospels, we have Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have Acts, we see the preaching, we see people becoming Christians, we see the church spreading and being established. But so many of these letters that we have are really addressing Christians, addressing their issues, their struggles, their trials, and what they're facing. Sometimes they're moral. Certainly sometimes it's things that the world is throwing at the members of the Lord's church, but so many things that we can glean from these letters. But as we look at James, understand the author James, the half-brother of Jesus, as I look at the letter, it was probably written to Jewish Christians throughout the Roman Empire, and particularly many of the things that they're struggling with and going through. We're going to see that trials is a major focus when we look at the book of James. When we think of the purpose, Hebrews, when we really look at Hebrews, it was written to discourage the Jewish Christians from turning back to the old law. There's many of the Jews that were saying, you know what, maybe we should go back to the old law. And Hebrews, we really see that idea pushed that why would you go back to the old law for multiple reasons. But when we look at James, if I was going to try to give it a purpose, I think it's written to correct bad attitudes and conduct in the midst of trials. To really correct bad attitudes and conduct in the midst of trials. We're going to see that James is going to hit on a lot of things. And really, when you look at James, we really have a pointed writing in many respects on, you said that you were going to be Christian, it's time to be Christian. He talks about pure religion. He talks about mistakes that are happening. He talks about spiritual immaturity in the church. And he says, you know what? We said that we were going to be Christians. If we're going to be Christians, let's do it. Let's do it to the best of our ability. Pure and undefiled religion. Let's locate the problems which we have and try to be better each and every day. Really a message of working together for the Lord, working and trying to encourage and try to improve. And have you ever thought about that? It's really Christianity, as we follow the steps of Jesus, as we follow Jesus, the Son of God, that we know is perfect, is that our Christian journey is really improving ourselves step by step. Trying to become the best version of ourselves for God, one step at a time. So many powerful lessons throughout James, but certainly trials is going to be at the forefront, and being the best version of ourselves. In fact, there's so many places that we could go. It's going to talk about many things, but I think it's chapter 1, verse 22. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. I mean, James is really pointing out this idea that you're going to go through a lot for the cause of Christ, but let you come out of it as the best version of yourself and actually do Christianity, do those things which are good and right. In fact, James has so much of the idea of action that there's many people that have had issues with the book of James. In fact, Martin Luther was one of those. I had his quote, and I don't know if I'm going to get it perfectly, but he said it's an unattractive book. Well, I wouldn't call any book of the Bible unattractive, but Martin Luther actually, I think he kind of went that far, and I think the exact quote, he says, it's a right, strongly epistle, which means he had a lot of issues with it. Well, why did he have a lot of issues with it? Well, because Martin Luther, he focused a lot on grace, not that grace isn't part of the gospel plan of salvation, but certainly faith is a part of it too. And when he read about the faith that James described, he had a lot of issues with it because it was a faith that involved action. And really, when we open our Bibles, if we ever run into a passage that we think is hard, we need to pause for a second and realize that we have to harmonize the Scriptures. We can't just come to a place and say, you know what, this is hard, we better throw this out and let's not talk about it. Actually, if we find some hard passages that disagree with what we're thinking, perhaps we have wrong thinking and we need to make that right. Certainly, let's be doers of the word, not hearers only. But he's going to rebuke worldliness. He's going to rebuke fake religion. So many things throughout. And really, I wish I had a lot more time to spend on James because I feel like every little section as you go has so many powerful messages. But we're really just going to focus on the first few verses here this evening. Let's start looking at just the first few verses here this evening. He is going to start addressing the trials that Christians are going through. Probably particularly the Jewish Christians across the Roman Empire, but just Christians in general. Number one, as we look at verse 1, it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. 12 tribes scattered abroad, certainly that could reference many things. That's why I think he was primarily focusing on the Jews. But we do think, just for a moment, that the church is really the new Israel. So he could just be talking about Christians in general. He could be talking about Jews that are now Christians and talking to them as well. But he's talking to Christians, obviously. And he says something that so many times other writers say. And I think that we should pause at least for a minute and look at it. It says, James, a bondservant of God. James, a bondservant of God. Do you think of yourself as a bondservant? Do you think of yourself as a slave? Do you think of yourself as a servant to the Lord? Certainly, when we look at these writers over and over again, it's amazing how many times that is close to their writings and close to how they reference themselves. They reference themselves as a servant, as a slave, as a bondservant. And certainly, if these men could hold that mindset, that is certainly something that we should consider and carry with us as well. Going to get right here into the trials. I'm going to read verses 2 and following. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience, having its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I really just want to focus on those few verses here this evening. There's a powerful message that James is getting across in just these few verses, and many times, I believe, misunderstood. But it says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, many of us, as we look at that, I think face value, a lot of individuals immediately take a step back and say, how am I going to have joy when I'm going through various trials, various tests? How could I have joy going through that? And I think what James is trying to point to is the idea that when we go through trials, when we go through adversity, when we go through struggles, we come out stronger on the other end. Now, people don't like to think of it that way, but I think that's the way that James wants them to think. If you are going to face a lot of trials, you're going to face a lot of adversities in life, you're going to go through a whole lot of things on this physical plane of life, when you go through them, use them as an opportunity to improve yourself, to grow, and to be stronger. I think that's really the idea that he's getting at it. Count it all joy. The trials themselves are not necessarily where the joy comes from, but rather the joy is knowing that the working of your faith is going to work through patience or endurance. If you are going to become better because of the trial, because of the adversity, because of the struggle. We can count trials as joyous in this life when we have a spiritual mindset and not a physical mindset. If you have a physical mindset, trials are going to take a lot away from you. to take some of your physical things away, perhaps your money, perhaps your health, perhaps something to your family. But if you can do these things from a spiritual perspective, that these things can actually make us stronger and better in relation to the service of the Lord. But do you view your trials this way? Do you view your trials as a test for you to come out stronger and better? I think the decision has to be made before you get into many of those trials. You have to make the decision to be resolved to whatever you go through in life, because if you don't make the decision ahead of time, a lot of what happens is when that trial comes, when that test comes, we are overwhelmed many times with emotion, and we don't always make the best decision. But if we are resolved before these things happen, perhaps we can be better prepared to handle these things and come out stronger. Just reverence, count it all joy when you fall into. That phrase, fall into, is the idea of falling around or upon, to fall in with, to fall into, to be involved in, to be surrounded by. When you go throughout this life, you are going to be surrounded by trials. And when it's talking about trials, I think closely with that idea is certainly temptations, but trials is a very powerful and certainly appropriate word. A trial signifies something that could be beneficial and has a purpose and effect. We think of tests and trials in our life. Not all tests are a bad thing. There's a lot of tests that you've probably taken throughout your life. There are some tests where the person on the other side of the table wants you to fail. But there are some tests that you take in life, the person actually wants you to succeed. I don't know about you, but my dad would put tests to me every once in a while. Now, I'm not going to describe all these tests, but maybe you had creative parents like I did. But my dad, every once in a while, he would test me with something. He wasn't necessarily wanting me to fail. He actually wanted me to succeed. And perhaps we even had teachers in our school that were very rigorous, but a lot of people, just because we're tested, doesn't mean the person on the other end of it is thinking that they want something bad to come of it. Perhaps they're thinking something good comes of it. And we many times don't think about that when it comes to the trials and the adversities of life. How many times do we see the people of God put through a really hard time, and then it almost looks like preparation? It almost looks like preparation. You start to look back and say, man, this person of God went through a whole lot, and then you look back and it's like maybe God was preparing them for something, preparing them for a particular work. So certainly the idea of trial, we're going to go through various trials, various tests, various temptations, but I think as we look in the book of James, really when you think of temptations, temptations are internal, trials are external. Temptations is really what's going on in our mind as we're thinking about something external. Something external is happening to us in our lives, and we're processing it inside our mind, and that's where the temptation, I think, really is, and we're making the decision how we're going to respond to this trial, how we're going to respond to this particular thing. Temptations are in the mind. And I think the Jewish Christians, and just the Christians in general, were undergoing many different trials. Many things were going on in their world where they were going to have to respond. And the question is, how were they going to respond to these trials? Were they going to view them as something that could make them better, or were they looking at them as this great weight that can never be overcome? And certainly we understand that God by our side, we can overcome any trials, any physical things that come at us in this life. After trials, we can become a better version of ourselves on the other side of adversity. Trials are really an outward opportunity to sin. These can come in all kinds of forms. These can come from the government, certainly. They can come from the world. They can come from the environment around us. But a trial, really, an outward opportunity many times to sin. A temptation is the inward desire to sin. Look at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. It says, let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. Then when desire has conceived and it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sin is connected to death. But when you look at that transition, temptation A lot of that is in our mind. We are going to face all kinds of trials. We're going to have to decide how we're going to think about these things as we go throughout life. If God condemns you for sinning, and He's the one that placed that desire there, we understand that that would create some problems. God has given us free will. The temptation is in the mind. God has given you free reign in your mind. Now, our mind should be conformed. Our mind should be changed. But really, the temptation is going on here, and God keeps His hands off that area. In terms of, He is not going to, when it comes to the temptations in our mind, we're going to have to make the decision, and we're going to make the call when it comes to those things. We're going to have to make the call. We have free will. When those external things come our way, we will have to make the decision whether we're going to take that straight and narrow path or we're going to sin. And we understand that God is not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. But we see that Jesus was tempted. Jesus had to go through the same process that we do when external things are happening. Jesus had to process, how am I going to handle this? We see this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil is going to offer these trials up, these situations, and God, Jesus, is going to have to figure out how He's going to deal with these. And of course, Jesus dealt with each and every one in a perfect way. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The temptations certainly come from the devil, and we are going to have to handle those in our mind, and we're going to have to handle them in a way where we defend, and certainly the Scriptures is a way that we can defend those things. And God wants the Scriptures in our mind so we are in a better place to defend off these temptations as they come. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot, repeat of what I just said. But we're looking at this, and we're seeing this unfold, and you're going to be tested throughout your life. There's no doubt about that. You're going to be tested, and you're going to have to determine how you are going to respond in these various situations that happen. And certainly, we can always look to God for that. But it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. Have you ever thought that you're being tested? As we looked at just a week ago, we looked at Abraham. And in Genesis, it says that he's going to be tested. And certainly he is. You know, when we think about that idea, there is all kinds of things that are externally we're exposed to, and we have to make the decision how we're going to respond to that. But God, when he tests us to bring out our best. And actually, when you think about Abraham sacrificing his son, going through that process of being asked to sacrifice his son, and he goes right to that point where he would have done it, is that God tests him there to bring out his best. Satan, when he brings trials into our life, he wants us to do the work. And you probably had teachers in your life that want you to fail, or you thought the teacher wanted you to fail. But there's teachers that are actually trying to pull the best out of you by testing you. And sometimes it's to a high standard. Have you ever thought that you're going to be tested throughout this life? That there are going to be trials set before you in this life? And you are going to have to go through these trials. I think of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here in 1 Peter, it talks about a faith being tested, a faith being tested by fire. And certainly gold is used there, but you can get impurities out of things by heating them up, and they will melt and go through, and you can find the impurities. We will be tested as we go throughout this life. We will be tested in various ways, and each time we get through these tests, we will be stronger in the service to the Lord. But if you think you're going to get out of this life without being tested, without being tried, without going through trials, I do believe that we are mistaken. In fact, some of us might have had a trial this evening. Some of us will have a trial this week. Trials all around us, tests all around us. The devil is certainly tempting us. And we're going to have all these things that we're going to go through. And if we can overcome these, we can be in a better place to serve the Lord. The word that's used is produceth or worketh, and the idea is it works down through to patience or steadfastness. Is when your faith is tested, when you go through these trials, and you get on the other side, you are stronger, you have more endurance, you are more steadfast. And when we think of tests in our lives, whether we think of athletics or we think of other tests, is typically, if we pass the test, we are stronger on the other side. How many tests have you gone through in your life? Has your faith been tested? The idea of patience here is an active endurance. This is not just a patience and waiting. This idea is that I am going to endure to the end, that I'm going to do whatever I have to get through this. And certainly the Christian needs persistence. The Christian needs endurance. The idea is if the enemy was overrunning your life, you would still stand and fight. Active endurance. I am not going to give up. I am not going to surrender, even though the situation around myself looks so bleak. You know, during the Civil War, I mentioned the Civil War a little bit this morning, but I do love that period of history. But during the Civil War, that type of combat that they had, they would go back and forth, and it would end up in close combat a lot of times, with bayonets and such. And as the war went on, the generals would rely on their veteran forces because they had been tested and they had been through situations like that. Because whenever the forces collided, a lot of individuals did not have the stomach for it, or they would be afraid. And what would happen is as soon as they crossed over that line, some people mentally would just start to retreat. But those veteran forces that had been tested and had been through very tough fighting and had been through many hard situations, when those situations came, they would not move. They would just keep fighting. They could see that the line was weak over here, but they would keep fighting. Unexperienced troops, you know what they would do as soon as those troops got there and that hand-to-hand combat started? They would just start to run. In the Civil War, it was very important for those generals to know who their veteran units are, who their veteran troops were, because they knew that they would stand, and they had been through trials, they had been tested, and each time they went through one of those trials, they would be stronger. Are we like that as Christians? Has our steadfastness grown? Has our holding the line grown? Has our endurance grown? That when we have things going on in our life, we can go, I've handled this, because I've handled other things like this before. I can handle this because I've handled other things like this before. And if we fall into a situation where this is something that we haven't handled, we need to look and say, this is a chance for us to grow and to be perfected or complete. Is your attitude count it all joy when you fall into trials because of the opportunity to improve your steadfastness, to improve your endurance? Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance. When we go through trials, our perseverance increases. This is a requirement for the Christian life. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is part of the Christian's life. Endurance, perseverance. James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord God has promised. Count it joy when you're tested. Count it joy when you go into trials. Why? Because you have an opportunity to grow stronger, to increase your endurance. In fact, I would suggest that impatience, unbelief, lack of endurance, those go with the lack of faithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit promises. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, do not become like the sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promises. Those who have endurance will inherit the promises. Those that are sluggish, those that are impatient, those who are not enduring will not inherit the promises. So we have joy when you're tested. Joy when you're tested, why? And I think that the idea is complete. It says, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We are going to be, count it joy when you're tested. Why? Because as you go through this process, you will become perfect or complete. Now, we have to be careful with that word. When you read that, you might think sinless. That's not the idea that we're going at. You are going to have joy when you go through trials because you are going to become complete. The idea is full grown. The idea is mature. The idea is fit for the purposes of God. Is that when we go through life and we're tested, each and every test that we overcome, we become more grown up, we become more mature, and we become more fit for the purposes of God. I have been through different trials in my life. And each of those trials makes me stronger so that I can handle better the challenges that are before me in the future. Do you look at trials this way? A way to test your Christianity? Certainly a Christian who's walking in the light is fit for the purposes of God. But we think about our past and all the trials that we've overcome to get to where we are at today, and think about how all of that has made us a better Christian and servant. I think of Joseph. We think of Joseph. He was born. He gets that coat of many colors. His brothers don't like him. You know what they do? They put him into the pit. They sell him into slavery. They're thinking about killing him. Is that not a test or trial of Joseph? As he's sold by his brothers. Then he ends up at Potiphar's house, and he serves as a slave, and he serves as a faithful slave. And as he's there, what is he accused of? He's accused of rape. Once again, he's going through a trial. And he's going through all these trials. And then what happens as we get to the end of the story is he's in prison now because he's been accused of those things. He interprets the dreams that God allows him to. And then he ends up number two in Egypt. Joseph was tested throughout his life. He went through trials throughout his life. And you know what? Those made him better. And they made him stronger. And I think they made him ready for the purposes of God. I don't know what trials he went through in your life. I think our trials are unique to us. We've all went through different trials and faced different things throughout our lives. And have you thought that those trials perhaps have made you stronger and prepared for the work that God has laid before you? Oh, you don't want to think about the work that God has laid before you. Oh, God's got work for you. God's got work for you. He's got work for every one of us. We don't have the same talents. We don't have necessarily the same abilities. We don't necessarily tested the same way. But we have been tested as Christians. And really, there's this process that's going on that we can be complete. We can be full grown. We can be mature. We can be fit for the purposes of God. That we're always working on being more loving. And we're working on our knowledge and our kindness and our mercy and our service as we go throughout this life. It's true. The Christian will go through many things. The Christian can go through ridicule. The Christian can go through pain. The Christian can go through suffering. The Christian can go through adversity. The Christian can go all through a number of trials, but we can really have joy because we can go through these trials and become better. Not only can we be better, if you look back at 1 Peter, it talks about these Christians being tested and this idea of giving glory to God. You understand that every time that you're tested, you have a chance to give glory to God? When death comes of you, of a loved one, when disease comes for you or a loved one, when these things come, we will be tested and we will have opportunities to glorify God in our growing process. We can grow through adversity. Complete does not mean perfect. It means full grown, mature, fit for the purposes of God. Are you willing to grow? Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. It says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. You will be tested, and as you go through those tribulations, know that tribulation can produce endurance or perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Some of the people that I know that have the best character, that have been developed the most, have been through the hardest things in life. They've been tested. They have been tried. We will be tested and tried throughout our lives. And certainly, as we look to God, we can have hope and we can have joy as we are being improved for God's purposes. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." You are going to be tested throughout this life. Have joy when you're tested, because you're becoming a better person. Have joy when you go through trials, because you will become a stronger person and hopefully better ready for the services of God. The Christian life is not easy. And unfortunately, in the religious world, many people have run away from the idea of being the best version of themselves. I don't know about you, but I'm chasing my potential. And I'm chasing perfection. And I know I'm not going to reach it. I'm probably not going to catch either of those. That's a scary thing. I'm probably not going to catch my potential. You know why? Because I've said no too many times. You say, "Kyle, you're a pretty young guy. I probably said no too many times. The things that I should have done that would have made me better." I'm chasing my potential. I'm chasing Jesus Christ and trying to be the best Christian I can be. So when trials come, can we have joy that we have another opportunity to be more like Christ and to improve ourselves? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian tonight. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can this evening. If you come, as we stand, as we sing.